So the daf for today is Kuf Beis. We're going to go back to the Mishnah on the bottom of Kuf Aleph Amud Beis, which we just hopped around sort of at the end of yesterday's shiur. Neger, and this shiur today, the sugya is about bolts and strings and doors and a lot of these technical things, pestles and mortars. Okay. So neger is a bolt, which means it's a peg, a yosed, and it's nitka bechar shebemiftan limenias psichas adel. So it keeps the door closed because you put this yosed, this peg, or a bolt, into the hole in the threshold of the door. And sheyesh berosho gluster, it has a knob at the end, a round ball that's attached to it at the end. And it looks like a pestle, which is something that you use to crush spices and grains and so forth and so on. And this whole discussion that we're going to have now is whether or not there's an issue of meleches boneh by adding this bolt and attaching it to the threshold, to the ground. And that is a violation of meleches boneh. Here, it's not really boneh on a doraisa level. We're only talking about boneh mechse kibone. It looks like boneh because he's really not changing the structure of the building insofar as this bolt always goes in and out of this thing. It's designated for that, and it's been used in the past. So you're not creating a real new creation of a boneh. But nevertheless, it could look like a boneh unless it's clear that you're not putting it in on a permanent basis. Now, since this has a glustera, it has that ball on top, and therefore it could be used for other purposes. This is a multi-purpose bolt, and it could be a pestle, it could be a machteshes. Therefore, it's a kli, and it's not mechsi kiboneh. Why? Because you would never put it there on a permanent basis. However, nevertheless, Rabbi Eliezer Oser, he doesn't allow you to take this bolt and knock it into the threshold. And even though it has this gluster on it, which should be a bit of a hecker, it should make it clear to everyone that he's not changing the structure, but nevertheless, the outer pa'ula on an external level, it looks like boneh. And the reason for that is because it's not really tied down to the door. If it had been tied down to the door, we discussed, I think, in yesterday's shiur, that something that's tied down is already considered part of the building, part of the structure. That's not mechsi kibone. But here, it's not tied down. And therefore, it is detached, so to speak, from the structure. Rabbi Yossi Mater, he thinks that since it's a kli, and it has, as we said before, multifunctions, therefore it's clear that he's not putting it there on a permanent basis, and it doesn't look like construction. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Eliezer says, I'm going to prove that I'm correct, because Maisa Bebeis Knesset Shebetveri Shayuno Gimbo Heter, they had this neger that had a gluster on the top of it, and nobody said a word about it. They allowed it, and they put it in on Shabbos, and they were permitted to do so. Ad shebo Rabbi Gamliel vaskenim v'osar lehem. But as soon as Rabbi Gamliel found out about it, they ruled that it's prohibited. And that's a proof for Rabbi Eliezer that even though, as we said before, it has a gluster and therefore it does have other functions, but nevertheless, when you knock it in, since it's not really attached to the door per se, it looks like you're constructing something. It's mechsike bone. However, Rabbi Yossi has an entirely different version of that very same story. And according to his version of what went on there in Tveria, Iser Nagubo, they mistakenly thought it was prohibited because it does look like construction. And then Rabbi Gamliel and this Kadim came along, and the elders, Hitiru Lehem, they told them that there's no need to be so machmir about this case. The Gemara says that benito biugdo or biigudo kuli alma lo pligi demuter. I would add that word. In other words, everybody agrees, even Rabbi Eliezer, that we could be matir in a case where this neger, this bolt that we're using to lock the door, keep the door in place, is kosher v'tolui. It's tied down and it's suspended. It's really a part of the delis itself, and therefore it's not michzik imavasha to michzik imona, because it is part of the structure of the door insofar as it's tied down to the door, tied down to the, you know, to the structure. But ki pligi, where is the machlokas? Now we start the daf for today. That's kuf beis. And the machlokas is b'she'eno nitol b'igudo. In other words, even if it's tied down, it's only tied down with a very thin kind of a rope. Demar sover came to the yesh barosho glustra toras kliol. Rav Yossi is mekil because he says that there's no way that we can consider thinking or misleading the public that he's adding it as a permanent addition to the structure of the building, and therefore it's michse kibona, because since it has a Torah's kli and it has many functions, he uses it for different things. He uses it as a pestle to crush his spices. Umars of Rabbi Eliezer's machmer came in the eno nital bi igudo lo. Since it's not really tied down, it's a loose kind of structure, then when you push it into that hole in the threshold that keeps the door from opening, that already is adding to the structure something that's not part of the structure, because it's not kosher, it's not tied down. And that's going to lead us to the Mishnah here, three lines down from the top of Kuf Beis. And again, the Mishnah continues on the same thread, wondering about locking closing a door with this neger. And now, the Mishnah is going to address a very fundamental principle, and we're going to have to learn this principle very well, because it's going to come up over and over again in the Mishnayos, and that is, there's a difference between what's called Medina and Migdash. Medina means anywhere outside the Beis HaMikdash, and there the Rabbanan instituted what we call Shavusim, but Ein Shavus B'Migdash. So therefore, Neger HaNigrar. So now we're talking about a case of this bolt, and it is not tied down in such a way that it would be above the ground and obviously a part of the structure, and it doesn't have that gluster on it, that a knob, as we called it. So therefore, let's say, you know what? It's not really a kli. It is, let's say, tied down in a long, long rope, but it's dragging on the ground. So it's, again, not apparent that it's a part of the structure, like a lock that you put in a door. You know, you have a lock that's built in by the carpenter into the door. It's not like that. And therefore, it's mechse kibona. It looks like meleches bona, and therefore the Chachamim instituted a shvus. However, the Mishnah says, nolim bo b'migdash, avalo b'medina. Even though in Medina, outside of the Migdash, we have shvusim, and this is a shvus because it looks like and reminds people of bona, but in the Migdash, we have a principle called ein shvus b'migdash, and therefore it's mutter. However, v'hamunach, if let's say this neger is not tied down at all, it's, you know, somewhere in a corner, and he takes it away, and he takes it in order to knock it into this hole in the threshold in the miftan, then kanvakan osur, even in the Migdash it's osur, because now we're talking about meleches bona doraisa. You're talking about something that on the one hand it doesn't have a shame kli, and on the other hand it's not attached to the door at all. It's munach. Munach means munach bekeren zavis. In such a case, when he knocks it in to the hole in the miftan, he's really creating a new addition to this structure. He's improving the structure. That's called meleches bona. That's the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda holds that hamunach mutar b'migdash v'nigrar b'medina. Rabbi Yehuda understands that even if this neger is munach, it's in a keren zavis, it's not attached at all to the building, to the door of the building. Nevertheless, there's no violation of aleches bona doraisa. Even though, again, you're adding and connecting something to the building and improving the building. But the answer is, according to Rabbi Yehuda, since it's designated for this purpose, therefore it's not considered meleches bona. It's only osa mirabbanon, and here, in the case of Munach, we're going to differentiate between Migdash and Medina. We're going to allow it in Migdash and prohibit it in Medina. That's the case of Munach. But if it's nigrar, meaning if it's tied down to the structure of the building of the door, then even in Medina, it's mut. So if Yehuda basically lowers everything by one notch, in the case of Munach, he reduces it, diminishes it down to a drabana level, and here we're going to talk about a shvus in Medina, but not in Migdash. And in the case of nigrar, there, since it is tied down to the door, you're allowed to use it even in the Medina. There's no shvus at all, it's tied down, and it's mutter. Tanu Rabbanan, we learned in the Braisa, Ezehu neger hanigrar shenolim b'migdash avalo b'medina. And this Braisa is going to reflect the machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. Kol shekashur v'tolui v'rosh echad magila aretz. In other words, it's tied down to the door, this bolt, but on the other hand, it's dragging on the ground. The lower level is on the ground. And therefore, even though the top of this bolt is actually hanging in the air because it is kosher, it's tied to the door, but nevertheless, it looks like Meleches Bona when he does the Ne'itza. Ne'itza means when he penetrates this bolt into the escupa, into the hole in the threshold. And therefore, we're going to differentiate between Medina and Migdash as we do in any Shvus. But Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Zen, this case where there is a Kesher, where we said that the top part of the Neger is tied down, once it's tied down, then after Medina Mutar, there's not even an Issa Drabbana. Ela Ezu Neger, Shenolim b'migdash avalom b'medina. When do we get to a case of something, says Rabbi Yehuda, which is mechsi kibona, and therefore it's prohibited as a shvus in Medina, but it's mutter in Migdash? And that's going to be a case of kol she'eno lo kosher v'lo tolui. It's not tied down at all. It's not, suspended in midair, tied down to the door. And therefore, Shomto umenicho bekeren zovis. When he opens the door, he takes this bolt and he puts it on the side, and that's going to be a case of munach. And in that case, we're going to differentiate according to Rabbi Yehuda between Migdash and Medina. Om Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel halachik Rabbi Yehuda ben Nigrar. Fascinating. We paskin, says Rabbi Yehuda, the name of Shmuel, like Rabbi Yehuda, as far as nigrar is concerned. It means if it's tied down to the door, and even though it's not tied, securely at both ends, on the top and the bottom, nevertheless, we're going to allow, even in Medina, that you lock your door on Shabbos with that bolt. Now, Rashi points out that we never accepted Rabbi Yehuda in the case where it's not kosher at all. You remember when it's munach in a keren zavis. That's already a doraisa issue. And here we have to be machmir, and we have to prohibit it, possibly even in the Beis HaMikdash. Omar Rav, v'hu shekosher b'delis. There are different ways that you can tie down this bolt. You can tie it down to the mezuzah, the mashkov, to the briach, to the, the cross beams. No, that's not enough. It's got to be kosher in a way that it's obvious that it's not bona, that it's really already an integral part of the structure of the building, and that's called kosher bedelis. It's got to be tied down to the delis itself. If it's only tied down to the side posts, and so forth and so on, then it's considered michse kibona, and then we're not going to allow in Medina the way Rabbi Yehuda would allow it. Eini, is this really so far? Rabbi Tavla, iklo le mechoza, when he came to mechoza, chazal ahuda vitoli be'ibra didosha, he saw that they had this bolt, and it was tied down to a bar of the door, some sort of horizontal bolt, but it wasn't tied down to the delos itself. And nobody said a peep. Now, according to Rava, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that you're not allowed to use this to lock your door on Shabbos. They should have made a macha because it's not tied down to the door. And the Gemara answers, "Ahu nital be'igudo." However, the case that they weren't in objecting to was a case where they had a very strong rope, kosher bechevel chazak, and therefore, since it wouldn't rip, this kshira, this tying down, makes it considered kashur. It's really attached to the building, even if it's only attached to the horizontal bolts, to what we call the briach, you know, the bar of the door. Even so, it's very clear to everyone, it's nikar, that it's not kibon. When Rava made his comment that Rabbi Yehuda was not matir unless it's kosher bedelis, it's got to be tied down to the door, that was the case of a neger that's kosher bechevel rafa. It was tied down with a string that's very weak, so that if he wants to use that string to take off the bolt and it's tied down to the threshold of the door, it's going to rip. And in such a case, you have to tie it down to the delos. Rav Avya Ikol in Ardo, Chazila Hu Gavrat Avikokotir Begemi. He saw that a person was taking his bolt, and instead of tying it down with a rope, he used something called a gemi. Gemi is made of very soft reeds, almost like grass, and it's nothing. Omar Dain Lo Nitrog. In other words, this gemi is so weak, that's not called kshira at all. And therefore it's like a neger, which is munach, and everybody agrees that if it's munach b'keren zovis, you're not allowed to use it to lock up your door in Medina outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Boy, Rabbi Zera, Nikmaz Mahu. Sometimes they have a peg, and or call it a bolt, and you have to tie it down all the way to the ground. It goes through the hole of the threshold, all the way down to the ground. That's called Noatz Bekarka. Shall we assume that in this case we should be more machmir, because since it's Neitz of a Karka, it really looks like Meleches Bona. It goes through the Iskupa all the way down to the ground. The Neitza penetrates into the ground. On Rav Yosef, Mighty boy, Lecha, you shouldn't have even asked that question. Lo Shmile, Lahodasani, are you not aware of a brisa that says Nishmat, Osur Nikmas Mutter, Rabbi Yehuda Omar Nikmas, Afal Pishenu Nishmat, Osur? Fiom Rabbi Yehuda Mishmal, Loch Rabbi Yehuda Benikmas. So we have a tradition based on a brisa that if the Neger is no longer attached, as we said before, with a Kesher, a strong rope, and you're not allowed in such a case to take this neger and use it to stop up your door. Now we have a machlokas v'ad nikmas. What happens in a case where the bolt is pressed into the ground, and the Tanakhama says it's mutar, Rabbi Yehuda says it's osur, and nikmas afal pishenu nishmat, even though it's tied to a chevel, but since he ties it all, he penetrates it all the way down, pressing it into the ground, it's asur. And here it really looks like moleches bona. And Shmuel says, we paskin aloch like Rabbi Yehuda ben Nikmas. So therefore, I don't know why you had any sort of a suffix. Why did Rabbi Zera vacillate about this point when we have a tradition that we paskin l'isur? Taima mai om rabbi mishum de mechzi kibona. That since he's noates the neger into the karka itself, therefore it's nire kibona, it looks like bona. Boy, mine rav nechumi bar zchari me abaye osso lo beis yad mahu. What happens if he attaches a handle to the neger? And at this point, again, it looks like a pestle. As we said, it has a multifunctional kli. Amalei Sabai says, Buchno ka'amrit, if it looks like a pestle, which is used to crush all sorts of herbs and spices and grains and so forth and so on, then for sure it's mutter, no question about it. And itmar, we also learned, Amar Rav Nuchum bar Ada, Asalo beis yad mutter. Because again, if it's a kli and it has many functions, then we would never even dream that he's putting it as an attachment to the structure of the building on a permanent basis and enhancing the construction. It's not mechzei kibbon. Hahusha risa. Now we have a case of a beam that was very heavy. It took 10 people to carry it. That's how heavy it was. Dahavi bei rabbi pados. And now the Gemara is going off on a little bit of a tangent. We're no longer talking about doors and so forth. We're talking more about mukta. And what happens if you have a very heavy utensil, such that you need 10 people to carry it? Dahavi madule be'as sarva shadu'e yadosha. They used to lift it up with 10 people and put it on the other side of the door in order to lock the door. Very, very heavy lock. Nobody said a word. Rabbi Pedas let this go by without any objection. Omar, Rabbi Pedas declared, the reason why I never said a word about this and I allowed them to use this to lock the door is Torah's Kliolah. In other words, even though you need 10 people to move it, but nevertheless, even in its place, even without moving it, you could use it as a place to sit. It therefore has the status of a kli, and it's not mukt. Hahi asita. Now we're talking about a mortar, machteshes in Hebrew. Dahavi bei mar Shmuel. It was in the house of Shmuel. Dahavi machzekes adariba. Adariba is a lesach, which is equal to a chatzikur of 15 sav chitin. It's about 60 gallons. Very, very large kli. Shari mar uchel mishte adasha. Shmuel nevertheless allowed you to put it as a threat against the threshold of the door in order to lock the door. Omar Torah's kliolah, even though it could have, oh thank you so much, 15 saw in it, which is a massive amount, but nevertheless it still is a kli, and even if it takes an army of people to move it, it can be moved. Now the Gemara brings different statements about the Iser of Ohel on Shabbos. We're not allowed to make an Ohel, and that means you have a roof that's at least a minimum of one tefach, so you have to have that horizontal top as opposed to just vertical. And in the case of a canopy that we're going to discuss, it's totally on a slope, so there's no roof on top. That's not called an Ohel. I mean, we might call it a teepee, but it's not called an Ohel in halachic terms, so there's no Meleches Bonah. Sholach Le Rami Bar Yechezkel Rav Amram. Nemelon Mar Mehani Mili Malyosa Di Amritla Mishmeder of Asi Bekipe Di Arba. Can you please share with us some of the outstanding halachas and the transmission that you heard in the name of Rav Asi regarding Kipe Di Arba? So in those days when they had a boat, so let's say the boat is to this length, they were round, kind of like, they had to protect those in the boat from the sun or from the cold. So what they did was they had the going up and down the length and from one side to the other, from the, you know, from width to this. Again, it's one of these cases where you need a diagram. And they had these bows, you know, like made of reeds or whatever it was. And then they would throw on top of these reeds a canopy, some sort of garment or a mat or so that would protect them from the sun. So the question was, since they had these, now again, I don't know the English word for it, maybe I can look it up actually. Let's see what he calls it in English. Arches. Okay, he calls it arches. Very nice. In Hebrew, he calls it motot. Motot. A mot is any kind of a stick that holds up something. So, basically, Rami Bar Yechezkel wanted to know what is the law as far as these motot are concerned. Are we allowed on Shabbos to be porei saleh machtzalot, to put these mats, these badim, these kinds of garments and cloths and so forth, over these arches in order to protect us from the sun? Is there a problem here of creating an ohel, which is prohibited on Shabbos under Meleches Bone. Sholach Le, Rav Amar responded, Hachi Amar Rav Asi, this is what I heard in the name of Rav Asi. Hani Kipe the Arba, with regard to these arches and putting the mats on top of these motos that are bent over motos like a bow. Bisman Shiesh Mem Tefach, if the motos already have a tefach on the height, meaning a horizontal tefach, then it's already an ohel. Even though you're adding a machtzelis, a mat on top of an ohel, that's called mosif ala ohel, but it's only on a temporary basis because you're going to take it off when there's no sun, etc., etc. Inami, ein bohem tefach, or for example, there's no flat horizontal tefach on the top of these motos, on the top of these bows, these arches, is then the ein be. Oh, here's the third possibility. Ein bein zela ze shlosha tfachim. Let's say each moat that's going again from east to west, you know, and the boat is north to south. So those motos are very close to each other, so that there's 2.9 tefachim between one and the other. In that case, we supplied police lavud, and now once you have lavud, you already have an oil because it's considered that the whole roof is all the gaps between the various bows, if you want to call them, or he calls it arches, are closed up. So you already have a roof, and you're not creating an oil. So in all those cases, then L'machar on Shabbos itself, maybe Machtel Suporsalim, you're allowed to put the mats and cover over these arches, and it's not considered ohel. Why? My taima, most of Halola Royhu. This is only a temporary ohel, because again, as we said, he puts the mats on and takes it off. And once he has already created the ohel before Shabbos, in one of these various permutations, these very various possibilities, then he's just being mosif ala ohel, right? He's already got an ohel on Erev Shabbos, going into Shabbos, because of one of those possibilities. Is Shapir Domi, he's allowed to be mosif on an ohel aroi. So again, you need tarti l'tevusi, you need two conditions to be matir. Number one, it's got to have already been an ohel, so you're only being mosif on an ohel. And secondly, it's got to be aroi, it's temporary, not permanent. Hani Dichri, when they had animals and they had to again place some sort of an ohel to protect the animals from the hot sun. So Dichri are male sheep or rams. The Havili Rav Huna owned these animals. The Bimama Bo Tula, during the daytime they needed shade. It was too hot. The sun was a sharav, as we call it. Ubalayla boya vira, but at night they needed to breathe air. So during a regular weekday, what they would do is they would cover it over during the daytime, and then at night they would uncover it, whatever this sichuch, whatever this covering was. Also, kami de Rav, asking if they're allowed to do this on Shabbos, omalei zil kroch budya. The mat itself that covers over the animals should be rolled up, but shayer bay tefach. But make sure that you leave a tefach that's still spread out. So you roll up, like we have it in our sukkah. I don't know if you have the same kind of sukkah where we roll things up. And he says you have to be makpin on Erev Shabbos to leave a tefach on top. So there already is, as we enter Shabbos, part of a roof, a mat that covers the animals, and that is only a tef, but that's all we need. Once we have a tef, we have an ohel, and therefore, l'mochar pashtei, tomorrow, on Shabbos itself, you're allowed to now stretch out the machzeles, this mat on top. You know, it's partially rolled up, mostly rolled up, it's just, there's still a tef that's flat, that's unrolled, and now you unroll the rest of it. Why? Because it's most of alola royhu v'shaper domi. Again, he's not creating a brand new ohel. The ohel was there already on Erev Shabbos because he left that tefach of the roof, and therefore it's mutter. Omarav Mishum Rabbi Chia Vilon. If you have a curtain, mutal in toso. You're allowed to hang it up. You know, there were different kinds of, like, hooks. You've seen it, like, for example, a shower curtain, that kind of thing. You know, you have those hooks. And you're allowed to set that up on Shabbos. Mutar lefarkum Shabbos, or take it apart. There's not even an Issur d'Rabbanan here of Asiyas Oel Aroy, because he's basically just being pores a dofen. He's just stretching out his side, and that's it. He's not creating an Oel. Now we're going to talk about canopies, canopy beds. Kilas chasonim, a canopy bed, which means that it looks like a teepee, right? In other words, you have two poles that reach a triangle on its apex and its height, and it gets wider and wider towards the bottom, and they put beds inside. And then on this canopy, on the frame, they add a machzela, some sort of a curtain or a covering. And the Gemara says the following, Mutar lefarkel in Tosa b'Shabbos. Since it doesn't have a gag, so you're not creating an ohel. Because again, as we said, the halachic definition of an ohel for Meleches Bona requires as an absolute pre-critical condition that there be a flat surface on top that's a horizontal gag, and it's got to be a minimum of a tefach. Here, he's got two sides that come to a point. There's no flat, it's all vertical. I mean, again, it's vertical on a slope, but it's vertical, it's not horizontal. So he doesn't have a roof, and therefore it's not an oil. He's not creating an oil on Shabbos. And now the Gemara is going to add a number of restrictions, a number of conditions that have to be met in order to allow you to open up this canopy bed on Shabbos. Om Rav Sheshes Breder Avah Lo Amarn Ela She'ein Begaga Tefach Aliyesh Begaga Tefach Asur. There was another alternative kind of piece of furniture of a canopy bed that had a flat roof on top. It was a very small roof, but nevertheless it had the minimum of a tefach. And if you create such a canopy bed on Shabbos, you are in effect creating an oil, because it has a gag tefach, and that you're not allowed to do. Not only that, even if it doesn't have a tefach on the top, nevertheless, we have another restriction, another precondition that has to be met. V'chi ein begag tefach lo amarn. We only allow it. Ela she'ein bepochos mishlosha samach legag tefach. What happens if going down from the top? Again, so there's no horizontal area, but there's a horizontal, right? Every triangle, at some point, you can draw a horizontal line that will be a tefach. Now, up to what point do you draw that horizontal line? Up to, but less than, 3 tefachim. Because if it's less than 3 tefachim, then we're going to consider it as if it's a lavud. So that if I would draw a horizontal line towards the top of this triangle, this canopy bed, and that line is drawn within 3 tefachim of the apex, then it already has a gag. Why does it have a gag? Because we're going to imagine that this separation between the two sides, the right and the left, is connected to each other because it's less than 3 tefachim, it's lavud. I'm going to just read the Hebrew translation. It says, Kshata morit modet es rochva lamata. As you go down and you're measuring the width, ad merchak shlosha tefachim migaga, if you go down 3 full tefachim and there's no tefach in width. So again, we're calculating from top downwards 3 tefachim, and we don't find a tefach anywhere in the distance between the two sides of the canopy, then it's mutar. Aval yesh bepochus mishlosha somach legag tefach osur. If before you get down as you measure it to the 3 tefachim number, you already get to the point where there's a width towards the top of the canopy. It's, in other words, it's not like a narrow kind of triangle, if you follow what I mean, a narrow teepee. It's already a wider teepee, such that we can imagine a gag. Again, there's no gag tefach there, but halachically it's considered a gag tefach, because in pochos mishlosha samach legag, you have a tefach. you have the width of a tefach, and by applying the principle of lavud to this shipua, this inclination, what you have is, within three tefachim, is considered a gak, if it has the width of a tefach. So again, you really want to know how narrow of a bed it is. If it's very narrow, it's mutter, it's not an oil. There's no way towards the top of this narrow canopy bed that you'll find a tefach and a roof. But if it's a different kind of a teepee, it's a triangle that's very wide, then even though it comes to a spitz on top, so at the very top there is no gag tefach, but we consider it as a gag tefach because as soon as you go down a couple of inches, you already have a very wide area because this was set up with a width. You know, your angle here is a very wide angle. It's a wide-angled canopy. Now the Gemara goes even further with another restriction. V'chi ein bepox v'shloshes samach l'gag tefach nami, even if it's more narrow. And as we calculate the three tefachim down from top to bottom, we won't find the tefach in its width. Lo amar, we're only going to be matur ella. And here we turn to the afkuf beis amid beis. Kishe ein b'shipu'a tefach. Av yesh b'shipu'a tefach. Is shipu'a olim ka olim domu. In other words, I'll read to the Hebrew, kisharochav tachtis akila, if the width on the bottom part of this canopy, mikotzel kotzer, measuring it across horizontally on the bottom, is already shnei tfachim, which means that if we imagine the vertical pole that's right in the middle, that's holding up this entire canopy, so it's got a tefach at each side. That's called shipu'ale o'alim. And since that width is a tefach at the shipu'ale o'alim, at the bottom part of the oil, that's also considered an oil. And if I understand correctly, what the Gemara is suggesting here is that there are two ways of setting up an oil with a gag tefach. It could be a gag tefach on the top, or it could even be a tefach on the bottom, when the rochav tachtis hakila is shnei tefachim, so now you've got a tefach on each side. I'll just quickly read to you the English translation, which I find somewhat challenging, to say the least. But he says the following. He says, the ruling permitting a bridal canopy does not apply except where there is not shipua tefach, a tefach underneath its slope. In other words, the horizontal distance between the foot of the slope and the top of the slope is less than a tefach. So again, he doesn't tell you exactly where the top of the slope is, but when you get from the foot of the slope to the top of the slope, you have less than a tefach. But if there's a tefach underneath the slope, then one is forbidden to hang it up and take it down on Shabbos, because the sloping sides of the canopy, providing they are overhang a tefach, are themselves regarded as canopies. If I understand correctly, what's happening is, you imagine a bed, a regular bed, not a canopy bed. Now you have four legs, and the legs hold up the bed. So you could imagine a horizontal roof, so to speak, that covers the area, the space under the bed. That's we recently had a cat in the house, and it hid under the bed. So that was its canopy, that was its tent. So he's measuring from the top up, and he's got a tefach on each side, and that itself creates a sub ohel. That's called shipule ohel. And that's also prohibited on Shabbos. Now, you and I put on talesim on Shabbos, do we not? Now we hold the talis over our head, and there's presumably a width of at least a tefach. And if that be the case, then maybe every time I hold the talis over my head, that should be considered creating an ohel. Take, for example, wearing a hat. If you have a wide-brimmed hat, and the brim is a tefach wide, then you're covering your head with an oil. Or Rav Shisha Breder of Idi Sayana, that's a kind of a hat, a felt hat. Shari, you're allowed to wear it on Shabbos. So the Gemara asks, Vatanya Osur, you're creating an oil. Lo kasha, ha de isbe tefach, ha de lesbe tefach. You know, now amongst Yeshiva Bachrim, I don't know if you noticed that it became popular that they wear these very thin brims. You know, the brim of the hat is very thin. In my day, you know, you wore a Borsellino, you know, it had a very wide brim. I don't know if it was a tefach, but it was probably close to a tefach. And there are, you know, in Australia, for example, you know, you'll find these hats that have very wide brims. So we can now reconcile the heter, the leniency of Rav Shisha, with the chumra of the Braisa, by saying that the Braisa was talking about a case where the brim of the hat was so wide, it was a tefach wide, and it constitutes an oil. Whereas Rav Shisha is talking about a brim that's much narrower, and it doesn't have a tefach. Elamayata says the Gemara, according to this, every time you wear something, whether it's a hat or whatever you're putting on your body, there might be a problem with oil. Is shirbe v'glime tefach hachinami di asur, when he puts the talus over his head to do ituf on his head, and now there's a tefach distance between one side on this side of his head and the other side of the head is at least the tefach, is now it's going to be asur. So therefore, we know that this is mutter. It can't be. You can't tell me that you can't wear a talus on Shabbos. Ella, but rather, lo kasha, we're going to have to find an alternative reconciliation of the braisa with Rav Shisha. Ha, de mahadek, v'ha de lo mahadek. We're not going to consider anything that you wear as an ohel, not a hat, and not a talis, but rather the issue here is, will it fall off in Rishus HaRabim, and therefore you might be tempted to carry it in Rishus HaRabim. If your hat is tied down, Rashi says, you tie it down underneath your neck, then we're not afraid that it'll fall down and the wind will blow it down and you'll carry it for Amos and Rosh Hashanah. But if it's lo mahadik, it's not really tied down, then when the wind carries it away, he might come inadvertently to carry it for Amos and Rosh Hashanah. That brings us back to our old Masechta Shabbos. Now we're up to the Mishnah here on Kuf Beis Amid Beis. We're back to issues about doors and differences between Migdash and Medina. Machzirim Tzir HaTachton, and we're talking about Dalsos Kalim now. This is called Shita Tevo Migdal, different kinds of carriages and closets, and there are doors to all these closets, and the question is, are you allowed to attach these doors to a carriage or to a closet on Shabbos? Well, it depends. If they're still attached, even to some extent, to the closet, then it's okay, because you're not creating a new structure, a binyan. And therefore, machzirin tzir hatachton, right, what happened is that their doors for the closets were attached, one on the top and one on the bottom. There was a tzir on top and a tzir on the bottom. And what happened was, the tzir on the bottom got loosened, and now he wants to attach it so that the door of the closet will now fit perfectly. Since it's still attached on top, then it's considered already part of the structure. There's no biblical violation here of Meleches Bone. However, Midrabanan, when he tightens the bottom tzir, which got loose, then it looks like Melech's bonus. So b'migdash, you're allowed to do it, but below b'medina. Why? Because the Rabbanan are afraid that this is a very dangerous situation. When he tightens the bottom tzir, let's just see how he translates the word tzir. I would call it a hinge. Let's just see what he calls it. He calls it a pivot. Honestly, I'd have to take out a dictionary. I didn't have time to look up the word pivot. I would call it like a hinge. In any event, these hinges can be just screwed on, or they could be knocked on with a nail. You know, you could really hammer it in. It's called litkoa. And we're always afraid that if we allow you on Shabbos to tie it down on the bottom, we're only allowing you to tighten it, but you might go ahead a step further, really knock it in a permanent sort of a way, and then you'd be violating Meleches Bona. And therefore, in Medina, outside the Beis HaMikdash, we're going to apply the Shavus and the Isser. Now, what happens, asks the Mishnah, Veha Elyon, if let's say the pivot on top, as he calls it, or I call it a hinge on top, got loose. Now the closet and its door are really not attached one to the other. The door of the closet is really hanging by one thin thread on the bottom. And therefore, kan v'kan osur, even in the Beis HaMikdash, it's going to be osur, because when he replaces or tightens the pivot on top, he's in effect attaching the door to the carriage or to the closet. And that itself is Meleches Bona Doraisa, and therefore it's osur even in Mikdash. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no. We have a principle called Ein Binyan Bekelim. The Melech of Bona only applies to something that's attached to the ground or to the ground itself. And that's a classic building, a structure. It's on the ground. Here, he's making a closet. A closet is movable. It is there for a kli. And there's no such thing as Binyan Bekelim. And therefore, even in a case of Elyon, even in a case where the tzir on top is loose, b'migdash, you're allowed to tighten it in the Beis HaMikdash, because it's only mechzei kibona, because ain binya b'kelim. So when you do a construction on a kli, that's only rabbinically prohibited under shvus. Those prohibitions do not apply in the Mikdash, and therefore, even if the tzir ha'elyon is loose, you can still tighten it in the Beis HaMikdash. Masha Enkein, in Medina, here, since the Tzir HaElyon is loose, and it really looks like Binyan, and the only thing is, technically it's not Binyan because it's a Keli, and it's not attached to the ground, the Rabbanan Asidin, Yesh Shvus B'Medina, Ein Shvus B'Mikdash. However, if let's say the top Tzir is very tight in its place, and the bottom Tzir, the bottom pivot got loose, then even in Medina, it's Mutter, is Tachton, but Medina, you're allowed to tighten it up. Because again, Ein Binya B'Kelim, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Tana Rabbana, we learned in a Brice, Tzir, Deles, Shida, Teva, Umigda. Right, these are different types of closets and carriages. And again, you have the bottom hinge, and it became loose. It's B'Migdash Machzirim, B'Medina, Dochakim. What it means is that in the Mikdash, since we're talking about the Tzira Tachton, then everybody agrees in that case that there's no real Malacha of Binyan, even if you'd hold Yesh Binyan B'Kelim, but since it's attached with the Tzira Elyon, then it's basically attached, so when you tighten it up, that's only a Shvus and ain't Shvus B'Mikdash, but in Medina, we're not going to allow you to tighten it, but rather Dochakim. In other words, if it's loose and it's not fitting into the hole, then you could push it in. But if it's Tzir Elyon, but what happens if the top pivot is loose and then virtually the closet door is not attached to the closet? As we said before, it's hanging on, you know, on a little thread over here on the bottom. It's then kan v'kan lo yachzir in both cases, even in the Beis HaMikdash, we're not going to allow you to attach the Tzir HaElyon, because that would be Meleches Bona Gomur. And in the case where the Elyon is still attached, and you're just tightening up the Tachton, why do we say you're not allowed to explicitly, directly tighten it? You're only allowed to push it in a little bit. The reason for that is Gzer Hashem Yiska. We're afraid that if we allow him to really tighten it in, he might take a hammer and knock it in a permanent way. V'im talking, if he would do so, he would knock a hinge into a door in a permanent way by banging it with a hammer, then chayiv chatos. That would be a violation of a chayiv chatos, And now we're holding, according to Tanakhama, Rabbi Yehuda, the Yesh Binya Bekelim, and you violate Meleches Bona. Now he has a case of Shel Bar v'Shel Dus v'Shel Yotzia. These are not Kelim. These are attached to the ground. Like, for example, he has a cistern, and he covers the cistern with a very heavy cover, a metal cover. And let's say this cover got loose, then lo yachzer, he's not allowed to put it back on, because since the bar is an integral part of the karka, then it's really binyan gomer, it's really complete binyan. The dus is another kind of a water container. It's not exactly a cistern, but it's also some sort of a utensil that's placed into the ground. And shel yitzia. Yitzia, binyan namuch. He says it's a low structure, etzal abayis, and it's on the side of the house or back of the house. And again, the cover over the yitzia got loose, and he wants to reattach it. That is meleches bona. And now it's karka. And in karka, everybody agrees that you have binyan gomur, and therefore you violate a chiyuv chatos. So there's no difference here between Migdash and Medina, v'yim hifzer chayv chatos. Now we're going to talk about a ratia. A ratia is some sort of a bandage that has some sort of oily substance in it that you put on a makkah, and it's medicinal. Now, he was wearing it on Erev Shabbos, so therefore it's not considered a violation of refuah if he replaces it on Shabbos. Let's say, for example, on Shabbos it got loose, and he wants to put it on. So he's not doing a new act of refuah. It was there before Shabbos, so that it's no problem of refuah. But there's another problem, and that's meleches memachik, because when you smoothen oil onto a skin surface, then that act is one of the 39 meleches. It's called memachik. However, as we're going to see, there are certain cases which is memachik doraisa, and there's certain cases that it's nira mechzik in memachik, but it's not really memachik. Because really, he's only just attaching the bandage, and there is some element of saturation of oil in the bandage for medicinal purposes, but he's not doing a memachik. And therefore, he would not be violating the melach doraisa memachik, magziri retira b'migdash. Let's say a kohen who's serving in the migdash has this kind of ratia, this bandage, on top of his makkah, and now he's got a problem. Why? Because the bandage is a chatzitza that separates his yad from the kli, and that's going to pass as avoda. The avoda of the kohen requires that the yad of the kohen is immediately in contact with the kli sharis. But in this case, we're going to allow him to place it back onto his hand after he finishes his avoda. And that's called matirin sofan mishum tchilasan. In other words, we're afraid that if we tell the Kohen that if he takes off the bandage so that he removes a chatzitza, so for the purpose of avoda, he's got to remove this bandage, then and then we tell him, by the way, P.S., you're not going to be allowed to put it back on, because it's nirek hememachik, then he's not going to even take it off. He's going to just give up on the avoda. Let some other kohen do the avoda. Go find another kohen. So in order to encourage the kohenim to do the avoda, and they're allowed to put on this bandage and take it off, but they can't replace it once they took it off, technically, we're going to allow them, a special heter in Migdash, to replace the bandage, despite the fact that it's nirek hememachik, for the sake of the avoda. Avalobi Medina, but outside the base of Midrash, the Rabbanan prohibited you from replacing this bandage because it's nirakim emachik. V'im batchila kan v'kan osur. If he did not have this ritia, this bandage, on his mak on Erev Shabbos, he's putting it on now for the first time, then it's osur even in Migdash. Why? Because the only reason we were lenient in the Migdash is for the purpose of avoda, to encourage the Kohen to do the avoda, and therefore allow him to take off and put back on the bandage. But in this case, there's no there's no need for doing so. Why? Because he's putting on the bandage for the first time. Let him do the avoda first and then put on the bandage. If on Shabbos you have a bandage that fell off of the wound, is machzirno so b'Shabbos, even in the Medina, you're allowed to do such a thing because it fell off on Shabbos, and this is called, Rashi says, milso shchicha lo gozer be'rabbanon. We don't have a gzera in a case of something unusual. This is unusual that his bandage would fall off on Shabbos, so we're going to allow him to replace the bandage. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he says, no, if it fell off completely, then you're not allowed to put it back on Shabbos. Even though that's not a common case, it's rare, but nevertheless, this is a serious issue about Meleches Mamachek and the possibility thereof. We're not going to allow it. However, Huchluka, let's say it became loose, but it's still attached to his body, then, if it's Lamata, if it got loose on the bottom side, then dochaka milamala, then he presses it from the top. Huchaka milamala, dochaka milamata. And in all these cases, he's not doing a full-fledged addition of the wound. We're being very careful to him and limiting, so he'll be realizing that he shouldn't do a mamachik and smoothing out the shemen, the oil on his body. Now, if he wants to clean off the maka, and therefore he has to expose the maka, he has to remove the bandage, and if he does so, he won't be able to put it back. So then what we recommend is that Megala Miktas Haratia, he should open up the, expose the wound on one side by removing the bandage on that side and then cleaning out that side, then cover it over, and then go to the other side and do the same thing. So in effect, he has successfully washed away, you know, any possible infection from his wound without removing the bandage. Now, retia atzma lo yikaneach mipnei shehu memareach. However, the bandage itself, he should not remove or cleanse it from its mishcha, its oily ointment substance, because that would constitute memareach. But in memareach chayichatus, and even if he did it inadvertently, he's violating meleches memareach, and he has to bring a chatus. Om Rabbi Yehuda Meshmuel halachik Rabbi Yehuda. We're going to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, who says that you're not allowed to put a retia back on Shabbos if it completely fell off. Amar Rav Chisda, lo shanu, this whole machlok shin the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda, ela shepersha al gabi kli. In other words, the chachamim amekil, if the retia itself, the bandage that fell off, fell onto a pillow, but it did not fall onto the ground. I will perish al gabi karka divrei kol asur. Even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that it's asur. I'm sorry. Even the Chacham Rabbi Yehuda would agree that it's asur if the bandage fell onto the karka, because then it's completely removed from his body. If it fell off on the side there, you know, while he was resting, it fell onto his pillow, then it's still considered the original retia. But if it fell onto the karka, it's like he's putting on a new retia. We said before that everybody agrees that to put on a new retia, a new bandage on Shabbos is awesome. Omar Mab Rav Ashi, Avikrim Nikami Da Abu, I was in front of my father, Rav Ashi, and Nafale Abba Sadya, and his bandage fell off onto a pillow. Vikoma Hadule, and he put it back on. Aminale, I said to him, Lo Sovale Mar, but doesn't my master hold Lo Had Yomar of Chizda? Machlokish and Pirshal Gabi Kli, and will Pirshal Gabi Karka Osu, Yomar Shmuel, Halocha, Ki, Rabbi Yehuda. So in other words, the whole Machlokish is only in a case of Pirshal Gabi Kli. And Rabbi Yehuda was Machmir, and he said, you're not allowed to put it back on if it fell off, even if it fell off onto a Kli. And we passing like Rabbi Yehuda, Omar li lo shmili, I never heard this, meaning I don't agree with this. Klomar lo svili. My opinion is that the machlokus is dafka in the case of Pirshal Gabi Karka, where the bandage fell off on the ground, and here's where Rabbi Yehuda is machmir, because he considers as if he's putting it on for the first time, whereas the Chachom hold that even if it's al gabi karka, it's not considered like he's putting it on. But if it fell on a kli, then even Rabbi Yehuda would allow you to put it back on, and therefore my action, my behavior, is justified according to the Allah. And now we're up to the Mishnah on the bottom of Kuf Beis Amid Beis. So you'll decide if you can stay another 5 minutes, and we'll try to finish the daf. Koshrim Nima, you now have a harp, and one of the cords of the harp fell off. And now, in order for this harp, this kinar, to be used for the shir of the Levim in the Beis HaMikdash, because the shir of the Levim was accompanied by music, it wasn't just vocalists, is by Migdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, even though by tying this cord back on to the harp, you will violate Meleches Kosher, which is one of the 39 Melechas, but since we need this kinar, it's the only instrument, the harp that we have here for the sake of the Avodah, the Karban, then the halacha is that the Avodah Ska Karban overrides the Shabbos, and this Mishnah holds even Machshirei Mitzvah, even though I'm not doing the Avodah per se when I retie this cord onto the harp, but nevertheless it's a necessary precondition in order to get the harp so we could play the music, it's all allowed in the Beis HaMikdash for the sake of the Avodah. Avalo b'Medina. But outside the Medina, it would be asur. V'im b'tchila. What happens if you had a kinar that only had X number of chords and strings, and it was missing a string? So now you have to start putting in a string that was never there before. You're not just tying it down. Is then kan v'kan, even in the Beis HaMikdash, asur, because this was a problem even on Erev Shabbos. On Erev Shabbos, you should have known that it's missing a chord, and it's non-functional, it's not instrumental. You should have fixed it up. When do we allow machshirim, that which is necessary in some way as a conduit to the avodah, to override the Shabbos in the Beis HaMikdash? That's only if you couldn't have done it on Erev Shabbos, because on Shabbos, one of the chords ripped. But if you were missing a chord on Erev Shabbos, we're not going to allow you to put the chord back, to put the chord in for the first time on Shabbos. The Gemara says, Raminu, we have a stira to this Mishnah from a Braisa. The Braisa says, Nimas Kinor. In other words, when the Levim was singing and they had this Kinor that would accompany them, and the Nima, one of the string, the chords, Nifsika, it broke on Shabbos, Lohoya Kosra, Ela Onva. The Braisa says, we're not allowed to create a Kesha to tie it down with a knot. We're only allowed to use a bow. And yet our Mishnah seems to assume that even to tie it down with the Kesher, with a knot, even that is kosher, and it says kosher in the name of the Migdash. And the Gemara answers that the Shira, the song, at the time of the Akrava, is considered Machshirei Mitzvah. It's a Hechsher for the Akrava Sakarban. And even though in general Akrava Sakarban is Docha Shabbos, but nevertheless, when it comes to Machshirei Mitzvah, then we have an issue. Lo kasha ha-rabbonin ha-rabbi Eliezer. Rabbonin hold that machshirei mitzvah, to tie down the nema, which is a violation of meleches kosher, that's not going to be allowed, because it's only machshirei mitzvah. It's not the carbon itself, the avoda per se. It's only an accompaniment, a conduit. Rabbi Eliezer is the one who's very makil. We're going to have a lot of discussion about Rabbi Eliezer tomorrow. And he allows machshirei mitzvah to override the Shabbos. Rabbi Eliezer, don't machshir mitzvah dochnas haShabbos kosra. Therefore, you're allowed to tie it down and violate meleches kosher doraisa for the sake of machshir mitzvah. Rabbanan amri ein dochin. You cannot override the Shabbos. But onva, you're allowed to make a bow, and if that bow will hopefully hold up that cord in such a way that now you can play the kinar, you're in good shape. Because aniva is not kshira. I don't know if you tie bows on Shabbos for your shoes and so forth and so on. So the Gemara asks the following kasha, E Rabbi Eliezer, if we're talking in the context of Rabbi Eliezer, holds machshirei mitzvah dochem es haShabbos afilu chatchila nami. What happens in a case where he was missing a cord? Not that it broke on Shabbos. So Rabbi Eliezer goes on and says, Machshir mitzvah dochem es haShabbos, even if it was efshel asosa mibojom, he could have done it on Erev Shabbos. Now he's stuck in a situation, he failed to fix up this cord and connect it on Erev Shabbos, he's got to do it on Shabbos. And Rabbi Eliezer would say it's allowed. So how could have Mishnah be Rabbi Eliezer who allows it, who would allow it even if it was missing a cord as he entered into Shabbos? Elo lokasha. Let's offer an alternative reconciliation of the Mishnah and the Braisa. Ha! Our Mishnah that says you're allowed to tie it down is Rabbi Yehuda. Because Rabbi Yehuda holds that Aniva is Kikshira, Veha Rabbanon, and the Braisa that allows you to do Aniva Benakshira, that's the Rabbanon. Because the Rabbanon hold that Kshira is one thing, and that's a Malacha Doraisa, and Aniva is something entirely different. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda equates the two. So let's just add that when the Gemara interprets our Mishnah in the light of Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda equates Aniva and Kshira, our Mishnah allows you to tie down the name of this string as a cord to the Kinar on Shabbos, even with a Kesher. That's Rabbi Yehuda. And he holds that Aniva is the same as Kshira Gemura for all intents and purposes. Now, if we're going to say that Nitno Shabbos Lidochos L'tzorech Machshira Mitzvah, if we can override the Shabbos for the sake of Machshira Mitzvah, that's the principle that's being reflected in our Mishnah, then there's no difference between Aniva and Kshira. So there's no purpose and point to advocating and recommending Aniva as opposed to Kshira. It's all the same. But the Braisa that tells you only Aniva, not Kshira, that's according to the Rabbanon. They hold that Kshira is a Malacha Gemura and Aniva is not. And therefore, we're not going to be matir for the sake of this of Machshira Mitzvah to do a Kshira when there's no need to do a Kshira. You can completely, you could have your cake and eat it too. You could achieve your goal and have your Kinar back with that name attached with Aniva without violating the Shabbos. Now the Gemara is going to go back and ask the Kasha that although your interpretation of the Braisa is very smooth, and those who hold that Aniva is Mutar on Shabbos, they will recommend and rule that you have to do the Aniva to use a bow to tie down the Nema, this string to the Kinar, and not to tie it down with a knot, not Kshira. But however, your interpretation is not going to satisfy us with regard to the Mishnah. Why? Because we have two opinions with regard to being Docha Shabbos for the purpose of Machshira Mitzvah, Rabbi Eliezer's Matir, and the Rabbanan who Aser it. We never found a third Shita. So therefore, we should ask the following Kasha. We have a Stira in the Mishnah itself. Rabbi Yehuda, that you interpret our Mishnah according to Rabbi Yehuda, and we equate Aniva and Kshira, Aliva Deman. Which Shita, the Machlokas, between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehuda, does he hold like? In Machshira Mitzvah, it's Dochas HaShabbos. If he holds like the Rabbanon, and Machshira Mitzvah not Dochas HaShabbos, then Kshira is Asur. And even though it's necessary for the Negina in the Migdash, that's nothing more than Machshira Mitzvah, not Dochas HaShabbos. And even if it was Nikra HaNema B'Shabbos, then they would have to rule that there's no Kshira, and they won't be able to accompany the Shira with this instrumental music. So it's impossible that Rabbi Yehuda is maintaining like the Rabbana. And here we turn to the top of Kuf Gimel. Now, by process of elimination, if he's holding like Rabbi Eliezer, Zafilu Chatchila Nami, we should allow tying down this Nema even b'tchila. Tchila means even if on Erev Shabbos he knew that he was missing a cord, because we have a principle according to Rabbi Eliezer that not only if it rips on Shabbos, but even on Erev Shabbos, since he's stuck with the situation on Shabbos where he needs this cord, then he's allowed to tie it down. So how are we going to reconcile
our Mishnah, according to Rabbi Yehuda, which sheet is he going to? And now we're up to Ella, and that's where we'll pick it up in Mirtz Hashem tomorrow. So let's make a note of where we got up to. We're on Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph, and we are on the second line from the top. And that reads, Ella Lo Kasha. So wish you a great day.